The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody, it is Tuesday, May the 3rd, 2022, and it is a heck of a morning here on the MMA Fighting Twitter spaces. We are live, and then shortly thereafter, we will be on the MMA Fighting Podcasting Network. I am Mike Heck. Hope you're having a great day. Apologies for the later start time. A lot going on in the life of yours truly. Right now, I am at an auto repair shop, getting my brakes checked out, hopefully getting brakes replaced. And I wasn't going to leave you hanging. So we're going to do a show. I don't know how long we're going to do the show for. Maybe a half hour, maybe a little longer. I don't really know. But we have a lot to talk about because we're coming off a very busy weekend in the world of combat sports. We have a massive pay-per-view coming up on Saturday, UFC 274 in Phoenix, Arizona. We get two title fights. We have a very interesting lightweight matchup that a lot of people are very excited about between Tony Ferguson and Michael Chandler. Main event for the lightweight championship. We have Charles Oliveira defending against Justin Gaethje. And for the strawweight championship, a rematch. This time, Rose Namajunas is the champion, and she will be defending against the former champion and the inaugural champion, Carla Esparza. Finally, Carla Esparza gets her shot. So it should be a very fun card. Very much looking forward to it. Of course, MMA Fighting will be on the scene. Our own Jose Youngs and Sean Alshadi will be there bringing you all the goods from Phoenix, Arizona. But this past weekend was a lot of fun. It was tremendous. We had UFC Vegas 53 breakout moment for, wow. I see the heavyweight champion of the world, Francis Ngannou, in the room right now. Hello, Francis. Hope you're having a wonderful day, sir. And feel free, if you want to jump in here, we would love to talk to you, sir. But anyways, Marlon Vera, great moment against Rob Font. That guy is an absolute zombie because Rob Font, nah, Francis left. Marlon Vera is just a zombie. He got hit by Rob Font a lot. I mean, an absolute ton of times. In fact, it was historically the greatest striking discrepancy for a unanimous decision in UFC history. Rob Font outlanded Marlon Vera by over 100 significant strikes, but Marlon Vera did all the damage. So here's the thing. If you want to go back and – this car's driving all over the place. You want to go back and learn how to judge a fight in today's UFC, in today's world of MMA – the new standard of judging, or at least the refreshed standard of judging, go back and watch the last two Rob Font fights, and those will tell you exactly how to do it, because Rob Font outlanded both of those guys by a significant margin and landed some good shots, but Marlon Vera with the big knockdowns, Jose Aldo with the big knockdowns, Rob Font looked like a different human being at the end of that fight. And Marlon Vera didn't even look like he was in a fight at all, which is just wild to think about. So tremendous performance from Marlon Vera. Well done. And then across the country on the East Coast, Madison Square Garden, just an absolute tremendous fight between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Unbelievable stuff. The atmosphere was incredible. And there are very few times where I cover this sport and I'm watching an event and I get that FOMO that I'm like, damn, I wish I was there. Wish I was there to see this all happen and experience it all. Last year, I felt it when Brandon Moreno won the flyweight title. That moment in Phoenix, the crowd just going absolutely bananas. It was just like, man, like, what would that have been like to be in the arena and just feel that energy? Because that was an incredible moment. And then just watching everything that happened at MSG between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano, I got the FOMO. I got the FOMO in a big way. And Katie Taylor gets the win, super close, super competitive fight. And now he gets to do it again. In fact, they can just fight each other for the rest of their careers. And I'll be a happy camper because I'll watch that every time. And if they could do that in Ireland, oh my gosh. It's going to be hard to top that environment at MSG, but good grief. Those two ladies would probably get it done if that fight took place in Ireland. So very busy weekend at MMA, in combat sports, boxing. By the way, I have to say something because I don't really look at comments all that often. But once in a while, I'll go and look at the podcast numbers since I host like 815 shows on the network and just see how people are rating them and see comments and things like that. We had one person actually jump in our ratings review section of the podcast. And they said, we need to stop talking about boxing. We need to start covering the real athletes that fight in MMA. Now, I have a big issue with that statement because you are coming out and you're saying that what Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor did on Saturday was not real? Like, they're not real athletes? What a friggin' joke. What a friggin' joke that was. I read that and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You take your one star and you stick it where the sun don't shine, son. Golly, I could not believe that I read that this morning. What a joke. But anyways, I see a lot of people waiting patiently to give their thoughts on whatever is going on in combat sports. If you want to talk about Saturday, you want to talk about this Saturday, you want to talk about some other stuff, I'm all ears. Let's go. Christopher, the Undertaker streak continues on, my man. How are you?
Mike, how you doing, man?
Wonderful. What's up?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on the news of Dan Hooker announcing that he's not going to fight again at 145. And kind of what I wanted to parlay that with is Grant Dawson on the weekend was amazing. I came in here last week and I said that, you know, I'm not too convinced about him at 155. Shut me up completely because Jared Gordon is an impossible guy to stop. And Grant did exactly that, right? So I guess my thoughts are, what do you think about pairing those two together, Dan Hooker and Grant Dawson? Or another thought would be, how about Grant Dawson against Bobby Green? Kind of getting the rub of Bobby Green's popularity. Maybe you could put those guys like doing like a main event of a fight night or something like that. Just wondering what your thoughts are.
Thank you, Christopher. Always great insight. The Dan Hooker thing, I get it. He makes perfect sense because he's in the exact same boat in either division. So if you're in the exact same boat in either division, why go through all the hell to drop to 145 when you don't have to? You know what I mean? Why go through that? You're in the same boat. You're going to fight a killer either way. So if you're going to fight a killer, you might as well be in the best possible position that you could be in terms of your physical health. That cut to 145 cannot be easy, especially at this point in his career. He made it against Arnold Allen. The fight was crazy. He got stopped. So either way, he's either going to fight just an absolute – he's either going to fight like an Ilya Topuria at 145 or, as you mentioned, a guy like Grant Dawson at 155 who I just don't see a ton of 55ers in the top 15 that are going to be super excited to fight Grant Dawson, especially after that performance. I'm one of the first people on the Grant Dawson train. I've been hyping that kid up since he was on the regional scene. I knew how good he could be. And I still don't think he's hit his ceiling yet. So, yeah, Dan Hooker versus Grant Dawson makes a lot of sense to me. Bobby Green, yeah, he could do it. I don't know if it's a main event. I just don't think Grant has that cachet just yet. I think a couple more wins, maybe you put him in that boat. But Grant's a great fighter. We just got to get people just need to get to know him a little bit more. And I think people are after that performance against Jared Gordon. But people got to get to know the personality, know who he is a little bit more, get a couple other big wins. But I like the Dan Hooker idea. That'd be a good one to kind of get him over that hump. Tristan Gordat joins us. What's
hey,
up, buddy?
Mike, what's going on? First of all,
what's going on?
I don't know what's going on, but like I was listening to Otno, and like kind of the disdain, the disdain that you have for Henry Cejudo. I mean, I'm like, whoa. I'm saying to myself, where is this coming from? I mean, I don't know this. I don't know this because I remember Jose Youngs was just like, you do remember he was double champ, and you were just like, I'm not having it, man. I don't care about this guy. Like, no, like I'm like, I've never seen you this way where you were so disdain about Henry Cejudo. I was pretty taken aback, but I love it. I was stunned. But my question is with Justin Gaethje versus Charles Oliveira. I read the article that I think Jed Meshew said with Gaethje issuing a warning that about Charles Oliveira that I believe Gaethje said that he's going to make him quit just like Oliveira has, he said, you know, quit in previous fights before. But you think do you think Gaethje's looking at this fight the wrong way? Like, I don't know. I feel like he may be underestimating Charles, that he feels maybe like Oliveira hasn't got past those issues of where we've probably seen him try to find a way out. And he's deciding that, you know, I'm going to make him do that again in this fight coming up on Saturday. So your thoughts on that fight and how the approach Gaethje is taking. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tristan. And let me just say, there's no disdain for Henry Cejudo. It's just that I don't care. I don't care that he says he's coming back. I don't care. Until he actually gets into the octagon and fights somebody, I don't care that he's coming back. I hated the retirement. It was just the worst timing for it. I think for some reason he expected it to be like met with so much more sadness, but nobody cared. It was over in 2 seconds. The UFC didn't even really like care. Dana White immediately said, okay, Petr Yan's going to fight for the title. We're done. We've already moved on. The card was like, the card had just ended. It wasn't even the next day before the UFC had moved on from Henry Cejudo. So you can't expect me to be all that enthralled. And then what has Henry Cejudo done since he retired? I'm coming back to fight this guy. I'll fight this guy. I'm going to beat up Volkanovski. I'm going to beat up Jan. I'm going to beat up this guy. I'm going to beat this. No, you're not. No, you're not. You haven't beat up anybody. You haven't fought anybody in the last 2 years. When you get in there and you fight somebody and you take a hard fight, like if he goes out and just says, you know what? I'm not going to fight for the belt. I'm not going to get $42 million a fight like I think I'm going to get. I'll go fight Marab. I'll go fight Marlon Vera. I'll go fight one of these guys and prove to you that I should be fighting for the title, that I am the best bantamweight in the world, that I'm one of the best combat sports athletes of all time. You do that, my tune changes. My tune changes. But until you actually get in there and you fight, I'm keeping the same energy, bro. I'm keeping the same energy. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care until you do it. So that's how I feel about Henry Cejudo. As far as Justin Gaethje, Charles Oliveira, man, I thought after the Dustin Poirier fight, we were over this narrative that Charles Oliveira was a quitter. I thought we were past that. I guess not. Justin Gaethje sure doesn't seem past it, and I get it. I feel like if there's anybody who could take any fighter and make them feel super uncomfortable and make them and put them in a decision-making point where like, do I want to keep fighting this guy? Or do I just want to be like, here's a way out. I don't want to do this anymore. I feel like Justin Gaethje's the the guy that you would have those thoughts against more than anybody else. But I don't know. I don't think he's overlooking him. I just think maybe this is mind games. This is just trying to sell a fight. I don't know. But I love it. I love the fight. These two guys don't even need to do media day. They don't need to do a press conference. They didn't need to do anything. Just weigh in, show up to ceremonial weigh-ins, face off, and then fight each other on Saturday. And that's all I need. These two guys are not going to get on the microphone and talk trash and sell a million more pay-per-views. They're just not. Just get in there and fight. I don't care about any sort of other buildup for it. The fight rules. It's one of the best fights of the year. I can't wait to see it. Cannot wait to see it.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's get Tajik Bey in here. Of course, we see his tweets on the broadcast about 50 times every Saturday. Hello, sir. Good morning.
Hello, Mike. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mike, you're one of the very few MMA journalists that I actually listen to and follow closely. So just want to take a moment to give you kind of a token of appreciation for what you do and how you report news.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
As far as Dawson versus who was the suggestion?
I think it was Dawson and then Bobby Green for a possible main event. Not Dawson. Dan Hooker.
Yeah, Hooker was Hooker 155. Like, I think the problem right now is maybe Dawson is one fight away from fighting Hooker, and Hooker kind of like his role as the gatekeeper is already kind of affirmed with his recent setbacks. But I think what makes sense is the battle of the veterans. If you put actually Hooker versus Barbosa, they have already fought and they will both will be comfortable to settle the score at 155. That's kind of, I think, the match to make. As far as the Dawson, I think it's a little bit too premature to push him towards the top 15. Of the weight class. I mean, I think it's a little bit hard of a matchup and a little bit too early for him. And one comment about Till versus Hermansson. Till versus Hermansson is a co-main event for UFC London. I'm not sure why the fight has been announced, but it has not been confirmed as the co-main event. So that's maybe something that you can do and report, because a lot of media outlets are reporting the fight happening, but nobody's reporting that it's a co-main event.
Thank you, Tajik Bey. Appreciate the kind words. I have a hard time believing that Till and Hermansson is not the co-main event. The reason that maybe the UFC hasn't confirmed that or anybody else is maybe they got something else in the works. I don't know. But that's the assumed co-main event. That's a great fight. That's great matchmaking right there. I feel that's really the fight for Darren Till. Like, I feel, and this is no disrespect to Jack Hermansson, because I think Jack Hermansson is a very good fighter. But if Darren Till is going to get a win against a top 10, top 12 middleweight, it's got to be against Jack Hermanson. I feel like he matches up pretty decently there, but a lot of the other middleweights, it's a tough hang for Darren Till. It just is. But he has taken a lot of time off, which I think is a great thing he's been doing. He's training with Khamzat and the guys over at All Stars, which is another very smart move on his part. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the fight. We'll see what happens. Darren Till, I think the closer we get to that card, obviously the London crowd, the atmosphere, UFC London is the best event of the year so far. Like, it's not even close. That was the most enjoyable, just incredible stuff. So I think the closer we get to that fight, the more excitement, the more intrigue we're going to have, more on the Darren Till side. Can he get back in the win column? Can he have an impressive performance? And he's doing it in London, so the crowd's going to be absolutely going bananas for him. You couldn't ask for a better situation if you're Darren Till trying to get back on track. As far as the Grant Dawson that goes, yeah, I mean, listen, I actually don't even remember who I suggested he fight on to the next one at this point, because they blend together so much. But the Barboza idea is not bad for Dan Hooker, excuse me. That's not a bad one. Yeah, that would work. I actually like the Charles Jourdain fight. I think that makes good sense for Edson Barboza. Charles Jourdain versus Edson Barboza. I love the call out. I love the we're going to fight till somebody dies mentality he has. So, listen, if they do Edson Barboza versus Dan Hooker, I'm watching the crap out of that. If they do Edson Barboza, if they do Dan Hooker against Grant Dawson, I'm watching that. If they do Dan Hooker versus Bobby Green, I'm watching that. Dan Hooker against anybody, I'm watching it. And then Dawson, yeah, maybe he needs another win before he gets that fight. But again, I just don't know if there's going to be a lot of top 15 guys who are going to be like, yeah, Grant Dawson, let's go. That sounds like a ton of fun. Can't wait to have a big, huge, probably welterweight guy who fought at 45. Now getting comfort at 155, who has changed training camps, who will just take me down and get on my back for 15 minutes. That sounds like fun. So I think Doss is going to have a little bit of a tough time finding a fight. Now we have to also figure out if you follow the great Daniel Rubenstein, one of my favorite managers on Twitter, there seems to be a little conundrum at 155 as well. Because Arman Tsarukyan, again, another 155er who I think is going to have a hard time finding himself some fights. He's supposed to fight on June 25th. According to Daniel Rubenstein, the fight has been offered to Gregor Gillespie, which I actually like that fight a lot. He feels like Gregor Gillespie is not going to take the fight. And they said if Gregor Gillespie doesn't take the fight, they're going to do Tsarukyan versus Matush Gamrot, which is ridiculous. So either way, so we kind of see how that plays out, see where Brad Riddell fits in all of this stuff. 55 is a lot of fun. Let's get my man Toke in here. Toke, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
Toke, are you there? There he is. Yep. What's up, buddy?
I'm just here to say that I know the reason that Darren Till has not been mentioned as a co-main yet. Because there are biggest stars right now in England. Like, if Paddy Pimblett books a fight, he's the co-main, no matter who it's against. And yeah, you know,
great
okay,
point.
So yeah, and what I will say is, no matter who he fights, it will be the co-main. And my thought is, you know what, Demir Hadžević just had to pull out of a fight because of visa issues. Those visa issues are probably not the same in England. So just put Paddy Pimblett on with Demir Hadžević and just have it as a co-main so the crowd can go wild for that after they've already seen Darren Till lose in the third to last fight. What do you think about that one?
Wow. Holy cow. Just no faith in Darren Till. Unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, listen, you... Here's the thing about Paddy Pimblett. This has been there's a truck pull again, so excuse the background noise. This has been a point of contention for a while. How do you book Paddy Pimblett? I suggested if you're going to give him a push, like if you're in the Paddy Pimblett business to shoot him up the ranks, I like the Alexander Hernandez fight. I think it's a fight that Hernandez is kind of favored in, but it's closer than people think. Plus, you're doing it in London. Plus, Alexander has shown that when there's a lot of pressure, when there's a lot of trash talk, when all that stuff, sometimes he falters a little bit. And maybe this could be an opportunity to shoot him up the ranks. But if you're going to just book Paddy for the sake of booking him, who cares? Book him against anybody. You want to do Hatzovic? Cool. You want to book him against a Contender Series guy who got starched in a minute? Cool. You book Paddy Pimblett like you're booking an episode of WWF Superstars in 1992. You put him over. You give him a squash match. He gets punched in the face a couple of times. And then he goes out and gets a finish in the first round. The crowd goes banana. That's how you do it. You just put him over. It's just, I don't think the UFC is in the business of trying to launch Paddy up the ranks and make him a title contender, because that's not smart. But what you do with Paddy is you just give him squash matches, put him over, let him fight in London every single time, and just put him over. Give him Romanov-Sherman-esque matchups and just let him win, let the crowd go crazy, set up the main event. No problem with that, but I don't know. Paddy Pimblett against anybody, probably a featherweight who is on a 2-fight losing streak. That's how you book him. Let's get functionally crazy Chris in here. What's up, Chris? Good, you?
Good, man. I got my little quick fire list here, and I'll take up any time. I just wanted to know your thoughts, if any of my little short lists here that you remember stand out, or just to put the thought out for anybody listening. It is weird that Cejudo gets, like, I guess he got the credit when he was here, but it is weird how they're just like, all right, see you, Henry, thanks. Like, even Habib, one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, said on Tyson's podcast, Henry is above me because of his Olympian status. So it's just funny how, yeah, everyone's just like, all right, bye, Henry. But I'm in the same thing. Like, until I see him fight, who cares? But, you know, he is an Olympian, so I will always give him credit for that. The weird drama with the Usman-Canelo shit, such a stupid fight. But just because I saw, like, highlights from Jake Paul and Eddie Hearn and all this other stuff, so it kind of came up, and I know that's still kind of a buzz. It is stupid. We would all watch it, but it is really, really dumb. I still don't understand that. If anyone has not seen it, Eddie Hearn trolling Jake Paul is one of the funniest things I've seen in the last week, because finally someone in a cool, calm, collected manner just gives it straight to this kid and tells him how it is. Like, look, bro, you're doing okay, but you're not who you think you are. And he just, it's hilarious. So do you all selves a favor and go watch that clip. And as far as the card coming up, I just wanted to get your thoughts. I have a feeling Justin's going to get tapped again, and I hope that doesn't happen. I think Rose may run through Carla. I don't know if I'm a fool for thinking that. I don't know if you saw on the whatever they call it, the fight week promos, but Tony said he's focusing on wrestling for this match against Chandler. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm hoping Shogun wins in retirement. I'm hoping, I don't really care who wins, who retires, but I hope to fire. Thanks, man.
All right. Functionally crazy as always, Chris. I appreciate it. Yeah, the Cejudo thing. Listen, I am not, when I say these things about Cejudo, is not taking away from what he accomplished in his career, because he's accomplished a ton, like a ridiculous amount. And he's a great fighter. He's a great fighter. His resume is unfreaking believable. The problem is he left too soon. Like, just when people were starting to come around to the greatness of Henry Cejudo, like they were actually getting over the cringiness a little bit after the Cruz win, we were like, okay, that was a great finish. You know, you could call it what you want. You could say, you know, Cruz was past his prime, whatever. It was still a great win. It was still on a huge card. It was a big moment for him. And then to go out and say, I'm done. And the reason I'm done is because I want a gazillion dollars. And then he leaves. And then, like, I mean, the UFC completely no-sells it. I mean, completely no-sells it. Like, it was nothing. Dana White had moved on. He probably moved on before he left the octagon after putting the belt around Henry's waist. He was done. And then for him to just keep calling people out with no intention of coming back, Like, I was just over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. Come back and fight somebody else. You're not fighting for – maybe they give him a title fight. I hope they don't, honestly. Come back. Fight Merab. Fight Chito Vera. Go fight those guys. You get a win over either of those two guys, I shut up. I tell whoever, you fight for the title. I will come on this show the Tuesday after you fight either of those guys, if you beat them, and say, there's nobody else. Henry Cejudo fights for the title next. But until he does that, I'm keeping the same energy. I don't care. I don't care. I don't. I just don't care. The Usman Canelo stuff is just hilarious at this point. It's so funny. It's just hilarious. Usman's like trying his best, and I'll give him that. But Jed Meshew put out like a perfect tweet. He's just getting bodied in these tweets, like real bad. And then he has to go to the, what if we're locked in a room together? Who's coming out alive? We're not talking about that. We're talking about boxing. We're talking about two guys in a squared circle boxing. We're not talking about a boiler room brawl like we saw The Undertaker and Mankind do in the 1990s. We're talking about a boxing match. And Usman's not beating Canelo. Nobody's beating Canelo. Nobody. Especially not Kamaru Usman in a boxing match. And I'm all about guys getting paid and making that payday, son. I am. Make that money. But only if it makes sense. Like Francis Ngannou, like Tyson Fury, we all know how that boxing match is going to go. We know Tyson Fury is going to box Francis Ngannou's face off. But we kind of are intrigued by it. We're still intrigued by it. And here's the thing. Tyson Fury wants it. Tyson wants it. He started this whole thing. He wants to fight Francis Ngannou. Canelo wants nothing to do with Usman. And it's the easiest money he will ever make in his career. And he wants nothing to do with it. What else needs to be said? Now, if it happens and Usman gets a big payday, cool, I'll probably watch it. But I already know what's going to happen. But Canelo doesn't even want it. Canelo Alvarez, who will make probably $100 million in some way with sponsors and everything to have a quick and easy night at the office, doesn't want it. That should tell you everything you need to know. Let's get Brent in here. I know Brent's going through some stuff right now. What's going on, man? By the way, I am a fan of the of the satirical MMAF press website. And it's amazing, Brent, that somehow you have gotten people who cover this sport to actually take your stuff and turn them into real news. It's pretty fascinating stuff, Brent. How are you? Just got to unmute the mic, buddy.
Oh, I've done it now. All right, thank you. I appreciate the if that's a compliment, I appreciate it.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Yeah. To be honest, only real people that actually post the content as real news, I wouldn't necessarily call them real news. It's just like accounts, like sort of media accounts that wanna be news accounts. Because if you was real news account, you actually post real news. And it's like, it's just a simple check. Like, you can easily Google something. Sure. And if it's been
100%.
Yeah, and if you have a bit of knowledge, you know, you got, it's yourself, MMA fighting, MMA junkie or BJ Penn. There's the big ones. Obviously, got Bloody Elbow and other stuff. But you know which one is more reliable one if you're actually a fan, you know?
Right. We know Stephen A. is not coming out saying he's going to knock out Joe Rogan.
No, we know this. No, definitely not. But yeah, I mean, I think mostly it's like either like big Instagram. They're the word. Instagram and TikTok, I've seen a few. But they're like generally fans that do that.
Exactly.
Realistically, people do fall for it sometimes, which I think in a way, it helps actual news, because if you fall for my account once, twice, three times, then when you actually see a real news, you'll be like, let me double check, let me click on the article, which helps the real news in a way, if you think about it.
I mean, maybe you agree to disagree, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, something like that, I guess. I mean, I was listening to the Cejudo talk and everything, and what I would say is, so if you're in a job, right, and you don't think you're getting paid enough, what do? You either quit the job, which he can't really do because he's under contract, right? Or you sort of retire and you make your case to make more money, I guess, right? So, and we all know Dana doesn't like when champions retire without vacating the belt and stuff like that, like we happened with GSP and others like that. He hates it. So, I mean, that's part of the reason why they don't really care, I guess.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. You mentioned George St. Pierre. When George St. Pierre left the UFC and he retired and he left, we still want to see him come back. We still ask him if he's coming back. We still bring up these fantasy fights to him. Why? Because we want to see him come back. Because he hasn't talked about coming back for 3 years or 4 years or whatever. Every single time Kamaru Usman defends his title. If GSP went out on Twitter and was like, maybe I'll come back and beat up that guy, and then would do interviews and be like, nah, I'm not coming back, like, we'd feel a different way about GSP. Same way with Khabib. Every time Khabib does an interview, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? Habib's like, I ain't coming back. I'm going to coach my team. I'm going to run my promotion. That's it. I'm done. Stop asking me. I'm not coming back. It makes us want him to come back. We miss him. We miss him. Henry Cejudo was retired for about 11 seconds before he started calling people out. Like, he's not giving us a chance to miss him. And what's crazy about this is that he's actually becoming a really good coach. Like, a really solid coach. One that I have a lot of respect for. He's doing a great job. But again, it's all about, oh, I'll come back and beat this guy up. I'll go up to 155 and beat this guy up. I'll beat up Alexander Volkanovski. I'll beat him up. No, you're not, because no one cares. No one cares. Silence is everything. Silence is golden. Just like going to see your favorite movie. You don't want to hear a bunch of people chirping about the movie. You want to watch the freaking movie. And then you want to talk to people about the movie after the fact because they were quiet during the movie. And that's what we want from Henry Cejudo. Just be quiet. Just go coach. Collect champions at your gym. Do your show. Talk about the news of MMA. Stay involved in the sport. And just don't talk about coming back for a year. And then guess what? A year from now, when you show up at a UFC event and you're doing media, what are we going to ask you about? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? Make us miss you, bro. We want GSP back. We want Khabib back. Because of the way they're handling it. Again, if Henry comes back and fights, cool. Like, but I need to see it first. I need to see it first. And stop reaching. Just get in there and show it. Like, Dana's basically said, like, yeah, come back, dude. But, like, you're not fighting for the title. Go fight one of these other killers. Get a win at 145. Then we'll talk about fighting for the title. Go get a win at 35. Then we'll start talking about fighting for the title. Just do that. Just do that. You have a path. It's laid out for you. And Dana's petty as hell. He ain't going back on that. He's not. If it's up to Dana, he ain't fighting for the title next. Maybe Aljo is just like, I ain't fighting anybody else but him. But what do you think's going to happen there? Dana will be like, okay, we'll put two other guys in there. The train moves on. It keeps moving forward. That's all. Listen, again, let me reiterate. Everything Henry Cejudo has done in his career from a competitive standpoint has been tremendous. Unbelievable. The resume is incredible. He's got wins over... He beat Demetrius Johnson. I don't think he won that fight, but he has a win over Demetrius Johnson. He ended the streak. The guy's incredible. Became the Bantamweight champion. Defended the Bantamweight title. The guy's done incredible things. Gold medalist. He's done it all. But what he hasn't done is become a huge star and not even close to the place he thinks he's at. He's just not. So I hope he does come back. I really hope he comes back. But I hope he does it right. Don't say you're coming back and then sit on the sidelines if the UFC offers you three or four fights with top five bantamweights. Take a fight. Take a fight with either of those guys. It's not going to be easy. But the respect that you will get from fans, media, I mean, you'll get it. You'll definitely get it. I'm going to take a few more. Again, I'm at the card, the auto repair shop, so I can't stick around that much longer. Zeke, what's up, man?
Gentlemen. Well, I guess my man Mike. I mean, this is awesome.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen. all right, so I want to go over to the main event this weekend, and I want to talk to you about the main event next weekend coming up, and then I'll let you go on this beautiful heck of a morning. Wow. Cool. Chito Vera is a goddamn killer. I mean, you guys mentioned it on the post show, and I think you guys mentioned it on the recap Monday. You kind of watch this guy grow up. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of made the same exact mistakes as, I guess you could say, the guy in our main event this weekend coming up did, Charles Oliveira. He got in the UFC at a young age. He developed his game to the point where you have no idea what kind of different strikes he's going to throw at you. So my question is, does Chito Vera have a chance to win the championship? Do you think he has that type of run in him? My second question is, I think Justin Gaethje is, if Dustin Poirier is an America's sweetheart, I think Justin Gaethje might be. I think a lot of people love him. He's obviously one of the most fantastic fighters to watch style-wise, because he's just going to stand in there and not take your shit and just come forward with different combinations. Do you think that Gaethje has a puncher's chance better than Chandler? Or do you think that Mr. Charles Oliveira, which is, in my opinion, honestly, is arguably one of the most underrated fighters in this promotion? And I think that he has a way better chance against Justin than he did Dustin. And we saw what happened against Dustin. So once he gets him on the ground, in my opinion, I think Charles is light years ahead of the both of them. I guess I answered my question for me. But for you, what do you think about Mr. Vera's future? And what do you think about Mr. Gaethje and Oliveira on Saturday? I will shut up and listen. You are the man, Mike. Let's have a heck of a week.
Thank you, Zeke. So Marlon Vera, yeah, the dude is an animal. And the best thing about – the most effective thing Marlon Vera did on Saturday was get punched in the face. And get punched in the face a lot. Because you have to believe – like, if I walked up to somebody right now, and there's, like, a couple of guys standing outside. I'm never going to do this, by the way. But if I walked outside right now, and I see this gentleman that's probably 50 feet away from me, and I walk up to him, and I punched him 270 times in the face, and he just stood there and danced in my face, I'd be like, what? I would just kind of stand there and be like, okay, respond, I'm done. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Marlon Vera didn't even look like he fought anybody. I watched him on the MMA Hour. Didn't have a mark on him. It's insane. And he got hit the third most times in UFC history. Think about that. And it didn't faze him at all. And then Marlon with the kicks, the body work, everything he did. He was just so patient. He picked his spots. He knew they would come. It's a brilliant game plan. Not that I would recommend getting punched 270 times in the face in a five-round fight is an effective game plan, but in this fight in particular, it worked. His durability, his ability to take a shot and not even be phased, like not even a little, it was such a weapon in this fight. It's hard not to get frustrated. And then you can see as the fight went on, Tyson Chartier is giving Font advice in the corner. He's telling him, do this, do this, do this. And Font's just like, nah, man, I'm going to go in there and punch this guy in the face because I'm hitting him. I'm hitting him. I'm Rob freaking Font. I'm hitting this guy. Eventually, he's gonna fall. He's going to falter. But he didn't. And that's frustrating. That's going to frustrate the crap out of you. So his future is very bright. I don't recommend him taking that much punishment over the next few years, but it's working for him right now. It'll be interesting to see where he goes next. I do like the Dominic Cruz idea quite a bit. I hate the Jose Aldo call out. It makes absolutely no sense. It's a horrible call out. You already lost him. You lost that fight. And it wasn't that long ago. So why go to that well now? I didn't like it. Didn't like the call out. Liked the Cruz call out quite a bit. So if you want to go that route, cool. They match him up with Piotr Jan, I'm in. They want to match him up with Corey Sandhagen, I'm in. Barry's in a really good spot right now. I saw a lot of people, some colleagues of mine as well, suggest that he should fight Song Yadong. Why? Why the Song Yadong fight? I understand it's a loss and, like, you have to deal with that. You felt like you won that fight, but it doesn't seem like Marlon Vera is all that interested in running that back right now. Marlon's the type of guy that, like, he doesn't care about the decision. Like, he moves on quickly. In his mind, he won that fight. So in his eyes, he beat Song Yadong. He doesn't need Song Yadong. Now, Song Yadong would love to fight him again because he's up, like, five spots on him. And I would like to see that fight again someday. But I think Song Yadong versus Rob Font's the fight to make. Not anytime soon. But if Song gets another fight, gets another win, Rob takes some time off, do Song Yadong versus Rob Font. That's a fun fight. Marlon's just too far ahead of him at this point. And by the way, not that it matters. It was the like early stages of the pandemic. That fight between Vera and Song Yadong came together very quickly, and it was at featherweight. So you could always run say that, well, that wasn't a bantamweight fight, it was a featherweight fight. I think it's kind of stupid, but you have that in the back burner if you need it. All right, we're going to take like three more. I promise you Thursday and Friday, we're just going to go bananas, and we'll go as long as we need to, but I got to get rolling here. Mayonnaise face McFlanagan. Never thought I'd say those words today, but especially all in a row. But here we are. What's up? Are you there? Mayonnaise face McFlanagan. Are you there?
Hello, Mike?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, goodness. Happy to be on. Heck of a morning. You've already talked up, about buddy? It a little bit, but what is Cheeto's skin made of? Is my first question. And second question would be, what is the path you see possible for Tony Ferguson? Is it quick sub? Is it, I don't think it's decision, but you might think differently. Let me know. I will shut up and keep driving. Thanks, Mike.
First of all, let me just reiterate how much I love the fact that Mayonnaise Face McFlanagan is calling from the car. Exactly how I drew this show up. People driving to work, calling in. Sports radio, baby. Marlon Vera's skin is made up of something that scientists have not discovered yet. He's a freak. The guy's a freak in the best possible way as a combat sports athlete. So I don't know if how long this scientific breakthrough-y skin can last, but it's serving him well so far. It's serving him well. Tony Ferguson, Michael Chandler. Listen, I've said this many times. I know Tony's getting up there in age. Chandler's not a young buck himself. But I feel that if Tony Ferguson, who is a very durable guy, if he can get out of the first round, here's what he probably needs to do. He needs to get into 47 minutes. Pretty happy about that. We'll be back Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll do this all over again. We'll probably just take your calls the entire time to make up for it. And we're going to do the same thing again on Friday.
Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.